Despite his pose of being a blundering old fool.
Some pose.
Despite that, we all know that Doc's a cunning and resourceful man, with great courage. None of us would doubt that.
Christy looked around the table.
Would we? No? No.
But there's all sorts of danger out there. Why don't I go with him?
No. If he go out there, then he go alone. I agree with Christy. Doc no fool.
Dad wouldn't let him go.
Christy shook a finger at the 11-year-old.
Don't you dare try that one on with us, young man. Don't ever try to manipulate us by saying what Ryan Cotter would or wouldn't have done. Understand me?
Sorry.
The conversation lasted another hour or more, but by then everyone in the room knew that Doc would definitely be going. All they were really discussing was simply what he would need to take with him to try to maximize his chances of survival out in that most hostile land. It was early morning. Doc had been checking the cinches on Judas, and the mule had rolled a baleful eye at him and made a determined effort to take a hunk out of the old man's skinny rump.
You sure about taking that animal, Doc?
Judas and I intend to sink or swim together, my dear Dr. Wyeth.
I can see the sinking easily enough, Doc. It's just that I don't get quite such a clear picture of the two of you swimming.
Let me do the worrying, dear madam.
Jack squinted out of the shadows of the porch toward the low smudge of mountains where Doc was headed.
Look like thunder, Hayat.
The wind may blow and crack its cheeks, Master Lauren, and we shall give neither jot nor tittle for it, for we are bound for the far places.
Come back safe, Doc.
Of course.
The morning breeze ruffled Doc's mane of silver hair. The sword stick was jammed down the side of the saddle, along with the two packs of provisions. Jack had pressed Doc to take along a rifle for hunting, but he'd been firmly refused.
I have my Lamar for close combat work. Anything beyond 15 feet is, I fear, also beyond my eyesight.
Christy folded her arms across her breasts, feeling a sudden chill.
You remember everything that we've all told you about safe camping, Doc?
But of course, near sweet water. Endeavor to keep rocks to my back. Beware of the Hun in the sun. Don't allow the bastards to grind you down. Never eat at a restaurant called Mom's Place. Look for the spoor of malign creatures. Sleep with the blaster under my pillow, though I don't have a pillow with me on my odyssey. Don't draw to an inside straight. Never lend money to a Republican. The first cut is the deepest. Never borrow money from a Democrat. Talk is cheap, but the price of action is colossal. Keep your dreams as clean as silver.
Enough, Doc.
Main thing is just take care.
They watched him go.
Oh, man on a skew-backed mule. Look at the way his bony legs stick out on both sides of Judas. They nearly scrape the ground. All he needs is a stovepipe hat, and he'd be the spitting image of Lincoln.
The memory of Emily and his lost family filled Doc's mind.
If only man could turn back the clock, Judas. The thought that tortures me most in the dark hours of the night when death is closest is that the white coats turned the clock forward for me, but they lacked the skill to return me home again to see my love once more.
Doc was talking about the trolling experiment that had ripped him away from his young and lovely wife and two beautiful children, that had torn him from comfort and security to the nightmare of the Deathlands, where death waited gibbering in a thousand nightmare forms. He hardly noticed that the mule was moving slower and slower, taking advantage of Doc's lack of concentration.
I may choose not to return to my friends.
Now that he'd said it out loud, Doc was slightly shocked at the idea. Yet it had been something growing inside his mind for many months. It was often difficult to recall his life in the distant past. Emily was clear in his memory, and Rachel and little Julian. But so much else had vanished into a blurred patchwork of confusion. Friends were particularly hard to remember, but he thought that he had never had friends of the caliber of Ryan, Christy, John Barrymore Dix, Mildred Wyeth, Jack Lauren, and young Dean.
Greater love hath no man but that he will lay down his life for a friend.
Yet he had found that he was increasingly yearning for solitude, a time to himself, a time to try to shake out the cobwebs that gathered in the west wing of his addled mind.
A time to reap and a time to sow. A time to think. The time to dream.
A Gila monster dragged itself slowly across the dusty trail, some 50 paces in front of the mule, but Judas took no notice of it. A little closer, and the mule might easily have been tempted to charge at the reptilian intruder and trample it to pulp under its sharp hooves. They were up into the lower slopes of the foothills that surrounded the basin where the ranch lay, climbing through sagebrush and mesquite, past the weathered mesas. There were only a few wisps of high cloud off to the north. The thunderheads, with their threat of stormy weather, had vanished. Doc found that his mood was intensely changeable, veering between exultation at the beauty of the day and despair at his own predicament.
Not mad. Let me not be mad.
The afternoon drifted by. Jack had given Doc careful instructions on the best and safest places for camping, pressing home the warning that he'd seen the tracks of a big cat not far from the corral where they kept their horses.
Muty fucker, Doc. Cougar that size could take head off in one bite.
But he had also pointed out that Judas wasn't likely to allow any large predator to creep in too close without giving some sort of warning.
Such as breaking its tether and running away like goose shit off a shovel, Doc, leaving you out there alone.
Doc was aiming for a box canyon for his first night's camping. There was a trail from its mouth that would then lead him higher into the total desolation of the mountains, opening up limitless options for the rest of his journey, however long it might eventually be. The canyon was aligned east-west, so that the setting sun flooded through in the last hour before dusk, heightening the vivid reds and oranges of the sheer walls, throwing the cracks and fissures into deeper relief. There was a shadowed pool at the end, just as Jack had described it, surrounded by some scrub willows and feathery tamarisks. Doc walked around it, trying to see if there were any tracks that might give him cause for concern. But it hadn't rained for several days, and he found it impossible to guess how old some of the spoor was.
Dear, that is less than difficult for an old frontiersman like myself. Doc Tanner, last of the moccasins. A man whose eyes focus only on the far, misty horizons. Known to the Native Americans by his Apache name of Trailbreaker. Talking to oneself is supposed to be the first sign of incipient insanity, is it not? Well, I care not for that. There is nothing so satisfying as having a conversation with someone who is your perfect intellectual equal.
There was a set of tracks to and from the edge of the water that he thought might have been wolves, or coyotes, and another set that he squatted and stared at for several seconds, wishing that he had Ryan or Jack with him to help him out.
Far too big for a feral cat. Not a bear. Though a big grizzly might... No, I confess myself totally defeated by this one.
The fire blazed brightly after the sixth attempt. Doc had his pan of water bubbling merrily, with a small stew of meat and vegetables that Christy had prepared for him to take and cook. Judas was securely tethered to a tree within easy reach of the water and ample grazing. The flames gave enough light for Doc to be able to read the slim volume of verse that he'd brought with him. He browsed through some of his old favorites by Herrick and Marvel, some Frost, and even a little Emily Dickinson. Finding that his eyelids were drooping, Doc carefully tucked the book back into his pack, unrolled his quilted sleeping bag by the fire, and climbed in, dutifully checking that his Lama was ready at hand. The flames died down to a ruby glow, and Doc fell asleep, content with his first day. Less than 100 yards away, upwind, a pair of unblinking golden eyes watched and waited. Ryan was stretched out on the softest feather mattress, beneath a rich coverlet of silken brocade, relaxing into that delicious state that lay partway between a warm languor and the waiting delights of deep, satisfying sleep. A fire blazed in the hearth, the scented logs filling the bedchamber with their perfume. He could hear music, very faintly, brushing at the furthest edge of his consciousness. Perhaps it was coming from an adjacent room. A tiny part of Ryan's mind was aware that someone was close to him.
Christy?
A hand was at his collar, touching him on the side of his throat, moving away the curling black hair. He felt gentle pressure.